All right, Israel is real. And so this is part two. I'm going to definitely speak through the front part because it's. I really appreciate you guys letting us do some sort of a, kind of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a show and tell. This is where we've been and this is how you get there. So it's somewhat of a tour, all right, of the Holy Land. And I appreciate you guys letting us present in this fashion. And then the second half of today's teaching, hopefully you will see how you can apply what we experience in Israel through God's word. Does that make sense? Are y'all ready for it? There is definitely proof out there. Of course, the B here is I redesigned the logo of the History Channel, and instead of the H, you know the H is normally there on the History Channel. I put the B because the Bible is a book of facts. Everybody say facts. Facts. I was doing a youth choir workshop yesterday, and I said to the kids, it was a middle schooler, and I said, the Bible is a history book of facts. Everybody say facts. Facts. And then I said, what is facts? And she said, this middle school said, facts is something that is true. And then I asked her, and I said, is the Bible true? And she said, it was like a long pause. I just asked you what facts is. She said, facts is something that is true. And I said, is the Bible true? She said, I'm going to have to think about that. My godson knew that me and Lex went to Israel, and his mom told us a couple of days ago, maybe even yesterday. Friday. His mom told me and Lex that he thought he was confused about where we were. Because he thought the territories in the Bible or what the Bible spoke about doesn't exist anymore. He was like, how are they going to be over there what the Bible talks about when it doesn't exist anymore? And how old is B? He's 11. Is he double digits?
A 10.
This is a 10-year-old thinking that what we read in God's word doesn't exist anymore. Then I had the little girl yesterday that said they had questions about the Bible being actually true. The proof is out there. And so I almost want to redo everything I prepared today and just close it and talk about something else, because that is interesting. Because if a generation doesn't believe that the Bible is true, what does that mean? They may have questions about God being the creator. Does that make sense? I sense everybody in here, we are believers, and we believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. But it has to be about the content in what we do. Amen? Everybody say content? Content. It has to be about the content. So me and Lex was talking on the way here, and she said something. Hopefully I can re-articulate it. Let's make sure everybody, every young person connected to Judah is on fire for God. I think that's how you said it. Let's make sure every young person, every family member, niece, nephew, cousin is on fire for God. And it has to be about the content. Everybody say content. It has to be about the content. Because if my godson thinks the Bible is a myth, or the Bible is just a group of stories like the comic books, then what does that do to his faith? Would he likely pray to the God of the Bible? Will he likely fast and think he's going to get results? I remember back in the day, the house of Judah called a fast, right? And so many people fasted because they believe in the results of fasting. Amen? And because you normally read scriptures when you fast. And so Israel is real. Israel is about the size of New Jersey. If you were not here last week, this is just something to make, give you a point of reference. Israel is about the size of New Jersey. Of course, you go up, you go down. There's mountains. There's a lot of dust. These are pictures that Lex and I took. And so obviously you see me there. And so this is the landscape of Israel. The next 2 weeks will be on the website, these slides as well, so you can see them in color. And so customs and culture of Israel. Many people ask us, and I want to let you in on some of the things we experience in Israel. Some things you're going to laugh at me, you're going to judge me, or you're going to say, bruh, don't do that ever again. So we can see you here at the House of Judah. 81% in Israel, as it relates to religions, 81% of the population, they are Jewish. 14% in Israel are Muslims. 2% are Christians in Israel. 2% are Christians in a place where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was birthed. The Messiah, only 2% of the population in Israel are Christians. 2%. 2% are a part of the Druze religion. 2%. Y'all think about that. So when we go back to the Holy Land, we can call that a mission trip. I would suggest hiring some guards as you go and share your faith. But definitely, you want to shed any light on that, Sweets? If feel free to chime in. But it is definitely, some areas are unsafe, or you would feel unsafe based on the tension in that territory. Amen. There's a war over this territory. We belong here. We should govern over this territory. And I just think it's interesting. Only 2% are Christians in the place, even in Bethlehem. Born as the King of, in the song. But y'all don't believe. Amen. Amen. And you had him in the flesh. Even when they had Jesus Christ in the flesh, did they believe? Jesus said himself, y'all got me in the flesh. How much more, like, we have never seen Jesus in the flesh and we believe. So God, Jesus is really giving us kudos if we believe in Jesus, in a God that we've never seen. Amen. So if you believe in this room, God's got a blessing waiting on you if you believe. Amen. Everybody say, I believe. The diet in Israel. I don't want to see another pita bread. If I never see another pita bread this year, I'll be okay. Amen. If I never see another salad this year, I'll be okay. Everybody say kosher foods. If you are taking notes, kosher foods are those foods that conform to the Jewish dietary regulations. The Jewish dietary law is primarily derived from the Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 way of doing things. It's rooted in history and religion. Everybody say kosher diet. So the reason why I am having the best pizza I've ever had in my life, this is the best pizza, I'm telling you right now. I wish it was a little bit brighter. I want you to see the olive oil from the Holy Land sprinkled on this pizza. But one thing you would never see on this pizza is pork, pepperoni, because that's not a part of the kosher diet. Everybody say kosher diet. Kosher meats. Everybody say kosher meats. Come from animals that have split hooves, like cows, sheep, goats. They chew the cud, all right? And so a kosher diet is actually prepared a certain way. And I think I accidentally ate pork yesterday. I had an egg roll. I asked for a veggie roll, and I noticed that this egg roll was a little bit larger, and I just went to eating it. And about 15 minutes later, I felt a little different, and I think I ate pork. That's not a part of the kosher diet, all right? Because a part of what they believe goes back to the Old Testament, and they take that thing literally. You ain't gonna have no bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich in some of these places in Israel. It ain't happening. But I promise you, this pizza was some of the best pizza I've ever tasted. It was phenomenal. The salad was good. And so this is a part of what's going on in Israel as it relates to culture and food and fun. You definitely do not have to rough it in Israel. You probably can't stay the picture right before this, Sweets. You probably don't want to stay out here. Way out here. One more. You don't want to stay where I'm pointing. Amen. You probably can, but you probably don't want to stay there. Now, how do they dress? Guys, they really dress like me. Even some of the guys, they had on skinny jeans. Well, this is not skinny jeans, but they were trendy, but they had their heads covered.
Yarmulke.
You want to talk about it?
No, I was just telling you what it is.
Say it again.
A yarmulke.
Say it a little bit louder.
Yarmulke.
They had a yarmulke. So they had their head covered. So basically, take your mask and put it on your head, and that's kind of like what it looks like. All right? But they looked like models. I mean, they were trendy, in my opinion. Can you talk about the ladies and the guys that looked like models, and with the protection, how they were protecting the territory?
Oh yeah. So everybody is required to serve in their military, but they look like supermodels with like army uniforms on, like face, beat, makeup. Like with machine guns, it was the craziest thing.
Yep, you want to take a picture with the police. Can we do a selfie? No, seriously. And so there was something I wanted to lift. It takes about 10 hours to get to Israel. All right, a 10-hour flight. In other words, you go to Myrtle Beach twice and you're in Israel. So you go to Myrtle Beach, come back, and you could be in Israel. Takes 12 hours to get back. You're going to need a passport. Amen. Raise your hand if you have a passport. Amen. We can go to Israel next week. Amen. House of Judah, can you send us as a church to Israel? Yeah. So if you don't have your passport, raise your hand. All right. So can you get it by next summer? And we're going to Israel. Amen. Clap your hands. Let's go. If you can ride to Myrtle Beach, you can take a ride to Israel. You say, I don't want to fly that long. You can get up, you can walk around. They feed you some TV tray dinners. If you got a little money, you can go to business class and you can lay back a little bit. But the seat room is actually okay. Am I okay? Do y'all want to hear this? The seat room is actually like this. And so if this is my seat, this is the next person's seat. This is pretty much what I experienced. I know this is a little different, but I was okay. I slept like this for about 8 of those 10 hours. Restroom, and I would be just like this. Amen? Can you guys sleep like this for 10 hours? You can. If you drink the right drink, Benadryl. When I say drink, Benadryl, amen? Benadryl, that just slipped out. Benadryl, amen. Benny, good old Benny. Israel is ground zero for, again, I said it last week. What's up with Israel? It's the ground zero for Jesus' birth. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born in Israel. Born as the King of Israel. God made flesh through the virgin birth. His ministry resided in Israel. His documented miracles, signs, and wonders happened in Israel. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was murdered, crucified, and resurrected in Israel. Amen? And so another little something I think you guys will find interesting is when we look back now, we were under the city, and we were in this tunnel. We did not read the scripture last week, but I want to read it this week. Sweets, can you read this for me? 2 Kings 20:20. You see me in this dark tunnel. This dark tunnel took us about 30 minutes to get through. And I am resting on the walls, on the 2,000-year-old walls, plus walls. So really, I'm resting on these walls. But if I touch these walls, it's like I'm touching the same walls that possibly King Hezekiah touched.
As for the other events of Hezekiah's reign, all his achievements and how he made the pool and the tunnel by which he brought water into the city.
So this tunnel right here was commissioned by King Hezekiah, which he was a pretty good king, guys. Everybody say Hezekiah? Walker? No, I'm just kidding. Hezekiah was a good king. All right, he commissioned this tunnel, And they actually chiseled, dug out, scooped out this tunnel by hand. All right. Over 2,000 years ago. All right. All right. Go ahead, sweets.
Are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah?
And you mentioned he brought water into the city. So this tunnel actually has water in it. So we're standing in water about this high.
The Gihon Spring. Y'all hear about that on the news, right?
And the water comes from where?
The Gihon Spring.
You want to talk about it? Any?
That's it. That's what they're, when you hear about the conflict over the water source, that's the water that they're fighting over.
So why did Hezekiah wanted to build a tunnel to get water from the Gihon Spring to the city?
They were under siege. So if you go back to 2 Kings, who was it? It was Assyria. It was Assyria. They were coming to take the children of Israel captive. And so they were above the city, and Hezekiah was like, go dig. Because if they capture us, we're going to need water source in the city because we can't go out because they're all around us. And so he sent two groups. One group started digging on one end of the city, and then another group started digging on the other end of the city. And then they met in the middle, and this is the tunnel that they dug out. And if you go back to 2 Kings, you'll see that once they dug out and they met, that an angel of the Lord actually came and killed all of the Assyrians. Check it out, 2 Kings.
So 20 seconds of what you just explained. Brother Lawrence, if you can start digging over there. And because I got to try to make it real. So we're in this tunnel, and we're looking up, we're looking down. And imagine you're digging on this end, and I'm digging on this end over 2,000 years ago. No instruments, no technology. We're just doing what the king said and what God told the king to tell us to do. Y'all hear what I just said? So you're digging, and all of this, we're being obedient to a leader that God spoke to. How do we know that we're going to meet up? Can you start digging? Because how do we know to go this way, and then when we dig, we now connect? Because it takes 30 minutes to walk through this tunnel. Just a mere fact that execution of this tunnel proves that there is a God that speaks to us and can give us instructions. If Hezekiah can build this tunnel, guys, y'all can graduate with a 4.0. Don't play with it. I mean, if he can build this tunnel with no instruments, with only a chisel, you can make a 4.0. Amen.
It's rock, y'all. It's not even dirt. It's bedrock.
Limestone.
It's crazy.
And not to mention when you water flows up or water flows down. Yes. So if you know about landscape, water, the landscape has to have a grade where the water goes down. If you guys would pour all of your water out here, it will flow this way. So not only you have this tunnel, but the grade has to be where the water flows. How are they figuring this out over 2,000 years ago? So I want to reemphasize the benefit of even emphasizing Israel and ground zero. Everybody say ground zero. It's kind of like a secret closet. You go there to meet God. You go to a lake. You go to an ocean. Clemson won again. Clap your hands. You have homecomings at colleges. You go to grandma's house and family reunions. And the temple that David built over 2,000 years ago was a place where God's presence met his people. All right. So it's a place symbolic of God's presence meeting his people in a certain place. Now, today, it could be in your car. It could be wherever you are. God's presence is with you. Amen? Amen. So we don't have to go through all of that in the Old Testament, but it's only symbolic of a place. It triggers gratefulness. It triggers a testimony. It triggers gratitude. Amen. And so it's I want to emphasize basically in 2022, guys, we should designate a place where we talk to God. Now, for the record, we can talk to God anywhere on our jobs. Obviously, church is one of those places. But outside of church, do you have a place where God can look forward to talking with you uninterrupted? Is it a lake? Is it your closet? Is it that chair? It could be your bed. I mean, just that's all I want to lift there. Psalm 63:1 says, when we read the scripture, guys, let's think about a physical place. All right, let's read this. Ready, set, go. This is David, likely David talking. About 99.9%, this is David talking. I'm sure about that. All right, ready, set, go. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. All right, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. All right. You see this landscape here? You see this land here in Israel? Would you likely be thirsty in this place? Amen. Would your flesh likely be tired in this landscape? So now reading Psalm 63 with a visual, now it's not a metaphor. It's not hyperbole. It's not an analogy. It's reality. I am thirsty walking through Israel. Amen. Now, on the East Coast here, if we say I am thirsty, I am in the valley, we don't mean a real valley, right? That is basically, it's symbolic of I'm in a low place. But when we read the Bible, they are talking about a physical valley. Amen. Hopefully, this would encourage us to maybe read the Bible with Google Maps and Google Earth. All right. And so, Sweets, can you talk about this interesting picture you took on the Western Wall?
Yeah. So the Western Wall is the only piece of the temple that's still standing in the temple that Solomon built. So there are two temples. There's the temple. Y'all remember that then God gave David the plans for Solomon to build the temple. And then there was the second temple, because that temple was destroyed. And the second temple was one that King Herod built. And so this wall here is called the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall, because this is the only thing that is remaining from the temple that Solomon built. And so it's very important to the Jewish people. And they come here and they just pray. And it is amazing to see, because they separate the men from the women. So you see in this picture, it's only women. And then the men are on the other side of like a divider.
And guys, what I'm about to do is, because I know we're videoing, it's all out of respect. So I'm going to demonstrate what we saw happening on this wall while you're talking. And it's not to be, listen, I almost got kicked out of Israel. So PTSD, what is it? All out of respect. All right, keep going. And so they're on the wall. These are prayers, or some have in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And they're reading and praying, reciting. You can go ahead.
Yeah. And the women were lined up, because the women's section was smaller than the men's section. And so we had to stand in line to get to the wall. Now, people would like write names and write prayers and like stick them in the cracks on the wall. And I saw this little girl, she just, really little girl, maybe half my height, came up to my waist. She kind of pressed her way through and she touched the wall and she kissed the wall, and then she ran back. But people were just praying and wailing, and it was a surreal experience. This is the closest point to the holies of holies in the temple. and it is still standing today.
It is still standing today. Still standing. Everybody say the proof is out there. Excavation makes it possible for us to get to the bottom of things. Everybody say get to the bottom of it. To get a look at what it looked like, what it was like in the ancient biblical times. Excavation. Everybody say excavation. I didn't know Lady Webb, she talked about excavation a few weeks ago. Am I right? I had no idea. Last week I was going to talk about excavation, and she was back there like so into what I was saying. I thought I was really teaching good, but it wasn't that. She was like, you talking about excavation too. So the process of excavation, I want to dig through that, and then we're going to be out today. But excavation helps prove events occurred and demonstrates how a group lived. Everybody say how they lived, how they worshiped, how they ate, how they conducted business. So in other words, excavation, I am uncovering something, and what I uncovered reveals a lot about how you lived. Everybody say excavation. So I'm digging through some stuff, and it's uncovering your lifestyle. I'm digging through stuff, and it's uncovering how you worship. I'm digging through stuff, and it's uncovering what you eat. I am digging through stuff, and it's telling me how you conducted business, because money is left over. All right? Money is left over. Pots are left over. Your grandma's favorite pot, they found. No, I'm just kidding. It was your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma's pot. The process of excavation. Number one, read this with me. Everybody say, dig through dirt. Number two, exposing what's deep down using different tools, carbon dating, radar machines, and rinsing with water. The patience these guys have when they're trying to excavate. You have to have patience. If you think something is there, everybody say, something is there. Then now you have to be very patient, because you don't want to damage anything when you're excavating. So you're really almost with a toothbrush uncovering pounds and pounds of dirt just to try to discover something valuable. What you think is valuable. What you believe is valuable. Number three, layers are explored and studied. This is some of the process of excavation, all right? Then number four, you've discovered some things, and then you come to some conclusions, kind of like the scientific method. I've discovered a road. What does that mean, though? I found a pot. What does that mean? I found some coins, some gold coins. What does that mean? I found a text in Hebrew that matches what we read today almost verbatim in the book of Psalms. What does that mean? What does that prove? I found the remains of like thousands and thousands and thousands of animals that looks like they were sacrificed. What does that mean? What does that prove? Amen? So if this is a possibility that this is true, then this is a possibility that this is true, and this is a possibility that Jesus really died on the cross for us. Amen? And if that's possible, then it's possible that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? And so going to Israel and at least having a knowledge of the physical place where Jesus was born, he was shaded, he was betrayed, people spit in his face, they beat Jesus at this in Israel, all right? And so if rocks could talk, everybody say, if rocks could talk, what would they say? If rocks could talk. So in excavating, you're gonna go through a lot of rocks. Things that you would, what I'm trying to say, things that would, that they would deem really valuable is just a rock wall. they would think a rock wall is, they struck gold because it shows a structure. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, perhaps this is the rock where Jesus sweated drops of blood on his way to the cross. Luke 22:44. Can you read that, sweets? Luke 22:44.
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down to the ground.
In this, I think you took this picture, if I'm not mistaken, sweets. This is the Garden of Gethsemane in the Kidron Valley. This doesn't look like it's in a valley, but it's actually in a valley where Jesus prayed. If rocks could talk, Luke 19:40. So this is my opinion, guys, that, and I am almost finished, in a day like today where many Christians are silent, we don't share our faith like we should. Amen? We don't share our faith. We know God is real. We know the Bible is true. Now this scripture looks a little different to me. Luke 19:40 says, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these Christians at the house of Judah, I'm just kidding, should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So in 2022, there's a lot of discovery going on in Israel that's telling us that the Bible is true. So perhaps God is bringing all of this to the surface, is in the news, and because we're not doing what we're supposed to do, that these rocks are actually crying out and saying, look at me, Jesus really existed. Look at me, this really happened. Look at me. The rocks are saying, look at me, because we're not sharing our faith. We're not sharing the good news. Does that make sense? Do y'all see that? I want to end today on this. This may show up on YouTube one day if I get the nerve, but Sweets, can you talk about this? So imagine the house of Judah is basically surrounded. The exterior walls is actually a mountain or limestone, and what we are in is filled with water, all right? And so I am in a... Sweets?
Cistern.
Want to keep going?
So a cistern is like a well. So let me just say this. When I went to Israel, I thought I was pretty strong in my faith and my beliefs. However, when you go and you actually see the pages come alive, it just takes it to a completely different level. So we went down. This cistern isn't open to the public yet. Our tour guide was an archaeologist. And he took us down to this cistern. And this cistern, if you go back, it's throughout the Bible, but this one specifically is in the book of Jeremiah. And
it is huge, humongous.
Huge cistern. And a cistern basically is like, you know how they, the water tower. So like, I think there may be one in Clemson that has like Clemson on the side, on those big poles. But this, back in the day, they were just underground. So this basically held water. And if you go back to the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that one of the punishments that Jeremiah had was that he was lowered into a cistern. And this is the cistern that Jeremiah was lowered into. And Sweets had the opportunity to serenade us. What did you sing when we were in the cistern?
I said, to God be the glory. That's all I gave him. But when I said that, it kept going. It kept ringing. It was like somebody in the sound booth hit the delay button, and my voice echoed. Now, it was beautiful for me, but imagine for somebody that this same well was intended to kill them. I had the opportunity to bless God in it. But it was designed to kill somebody else. Anything else? So we're ending today on God's process or the process of God's excavation. All right, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Let's read this together. Ready, set, go. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Y'all know we're made of dirt, right? We're made of dirt. We're dirt. Come on, look at you. Look, we're dirt. All right. And so we have this treasure. So excavation, I talked about the process of excavation, and you're digging through dirt. Everybody say dirt. God is not intimidated with dirt. He knows we're made of dirt. You're going to fail. You're going to miss the mark. You're going to sin. That's not a surprise to God. Amen. Amen. The guilt that you've been carrying, carry it no more. Amen. God's not guilty, and y'all walking around guilty. God's not feeling guilty because he made us. You think God is guilty about feeling guilty about how he made us? Y'all don't walk around feeling guilty. Amen. Because in this dirt, I'm so glad God sees us not like how we see each other. Amen. Amen. I know what y'all see up here, but God sees something else. He sees something else.
Treasure.
He sees a treasure in dirt, in earthen vessels. Amen. That's why we need to let God excavate us. Amen. Because he's so patient. Remember, I talked about the patience that these archaeologists have in trying to basically uncover the dirt because they know something special is underneath the dirt. God knows there's something special on the inside of you. And so he is patient with you. He does not throw you away when you miss it. You miss it twice. He doesn't throw you away. He's patient. He just always just uncover a little bit more and more and more. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's what I don't get. Prideful people. Amen. I don't get it because it's the grace of God that we are not consumed. Amen.
Amen.
God is highlighted on the backdrop of dirt. Me being flawed proves that there's somebody out there that's flawless. Me being sinful proves that there's somebody out there that's sinless. Amen. Evil proves that there's good. Amen. Number two, the process of God's excavation is like the search and rescue mission. Matthew 4 and 9. Jesus says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? It's like the search and rescue mission. Excavation, God's excavation, he wants us to analyze. He doesn't want us to ignore the cycle that we find ourselves in. He's asking questions and saying, bro, why you keep doing that? Why do you even entertain it? Why do you even entertain the thought? Perhaps if you deal with the thought, it won't become a cycle. Everybody say, deal with the thought. And you've taken care of the cycle. Everybody say, address my thoughts, and I address the curse. Amen. Take care of the curse in your thoughts. Amen. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious what? Thoughts. Certain thoughts triggers anxiety. Amen. Anybody other than me had to take a deep breath this week? I mean, I literally had to mute the phone and take a deep breath because I wanted to go off. Amen. Anxiety, because again, you got to excavation. God knows how to deal with us. Amen. He knows us. He made us. Amen. He knows the ins and the outs. He knows things about us we've never told anybody else. He knows things that we are hiding from other people. Amen. Where am I? Number three.
You're on four.
Number four. The truth will be revealed through excavation. All right, this is the last one. Luke 8:17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed. Let's just give it a little time. Nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. All right, as we finish today, y'all stand up. Everybody say, let's be honest with God. Bottom line, allow God to excavate your heart. Let's say that together. This is our final statement. Everybody say, allow God to excavate my heart. Y'all received that today? Clap your hands. Again, it was a little different, and hopefully that blessed you, and that was a great takeaway. Amen. With excavation is powerful. Excavation allows us to enjoy as a tourist in many places around the world, not just Israel. There's some excavation going on in Clemson, in South Carolina at the beach. People are discovering things because they are excavating. Amen. There's likely some excavation that's going on right now. In other words, God is speaking to some of us, and like only He can. Like He can speak 1,000 words in 2 seconds, and He's like, oh, yes, I get it. He can speak a vibration, and we get it. Amen. My daddy has this deep voice. Never got a whooping, but he had this vibration that will let everybody in the house know, okay, I get it. God has this special vibration that, do y'all know vibrations can actually disturb matter? I don't know if y'all know that. So, like, there's enough, if it's enough vibration, it can actually cause things that are physical. Something immaterial can affect the material if it's a certain vibration. Y'all get that? I know college students, y'all say, this is my class. And so allow God's vibration to, like, you gotta be willing to do this, because if He's going to shake it up in me, amen, now we gotta hold on, because we don't know what's going on. All we know that God is speaking to us, and He's excavating, and He's shaking things up. But the result is actually a better you. Who wants a better version of you in 2023? I know I do. Amen. There's some things I don't like about me. Amen. Amen. It's like, bro, really? So in this moment, if you can just be honest and ask God to deal with whatever in your spirit. Ask God to excavate, to search you. As we're asking God to search us, perhaps God is asking us, He said, you do a little searching. You do a little soul searching. Trying to ignore it. Don't ignore it no more. Say, this hurts. This doesn't feel good. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Whatever it takes for you to... God, I have prideful ways. God says, I already know that. I'm jealous sometimes. I already know that. I already knew that. Anger. I already know that. I know you're dealing with that. That's okay. Unforgiveness. I already know. I already knew. I already know. Disappointment. Doubt. He says, I already know. Jealousy. I already know. Lust. I already know. He says, I already know, and I still love you. Thank you, Lord, again for your grace. Thank you, God, for your healing power. Thank you, God, for healing. healing us in this room, healing us, healing our hearts. If we have physical sickness, if there's a physical sickness in this room, you can heal that too. We thank you that when we leave here, we're going to walk into physical healing. We're going to walk into emotional healing. We're going to walk into you healing our heart. When we walk out of here, we're going to walk into a season where there's a better version of us because of you, because of your grace, because of your spirit. God, we love you. We appreciate you. And we adore you. Keep us safe and forever in your care. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.